And it's found in verse 4. And we'll read, I guess it's the fourth. So I guess if you were writing it down, it would be Psalm 23, 4D. So the fourth statement there. And it says right there, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And if you want to turn over to John 10, we'll be there in a little while. John 10:10, and we're going to read a few verses there that kind of allude to the shepherd fact. And so what we're looking at tonight, the rod and the staff. And of course, it's two different instruments, right? It's kind of like a screwdriver and a pair of pliers. You know, I've tried to take a screw out with a pair of pliers before. I'm sure you have. And it works if you can get a hold, if you can get a bite, and it takes a little longer. So you can do the same job. Now, I don't know about, you know, using a screwdriver as a pair of pliers. I mean, you might have to have a pretty strong thumb to make that work. But, you know, again, I mean, my dad would get on to me for using his sock or his ratchet as a hammer. I don't know what the big deal was. You know, it was Craftsman, so it was Lifetime. So if I broke it, he could just go get another one, right? So that was, I'm just kidding. So we have had to use different tools that you know, when you have the right tool, and I've knocked busted knuckles and bumped heads up under cabinets and all this kind of stuff, and you go get the right tool, and it's just like, all right, that makes it better. And so these are two different tools. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff." So they were two different. And so obviously we've seen pictures and we've seen Christmas plays and things like that with the shepherd with their staff. And, you know, if you study it out, obviously it's a pliable piece of wood that they make these staves out of. And they let them get a certain size around. And then, of course, they'll carve on them and polish them or whatever. But then they'll take them and bend them when they're wet. And they're new. You know, you couldn't take an old dead limb. It'd just break. But if you take a live one and bend it, and they would lock it into place somehow with some ropes or whatever, and then let it dry. And so they get that hook on there. And of course, we know that that hook was to reach out there and, you know, pull the sheep back a little bit, things like that. But if a wolf came, you know, if they used their, you know, staff to beat off the wolf, they might break that crook. And so they'd be, "Oh, now I got to go back and get me another piece of wet green wood and bend it," and things like that. So they had what they called a rod. And there's different medieval time looking instruments that would have a little shorter stick with a ball on the end of it with spikes and things like that. So that's what they would look for back in the Bible time, was a piece of wood that maybe had a knot on the end of it. It was a little bit thicker, you know, so if they hit something with it, it wouldn't break as easy and things like this. And, you know, they weren't switching wolves out of the sheepfold or, you know, switching things like that. It was a rod. And so they would knock those wolves upside the head or whatever and things like that. So that was there. And, you know, so a lot of times we see the shepherds with their long robes on, things like that. But with the staff. But if it was picturing these guys, they probably had some type of rod hanging from their robe tie or I don't know if they called it a belt back then. And it would just hang there, kind of like what we do. And so we see here, the Bible says his rod and his staff, they comfort us. And we're going to look at that tonight. So the shepherd, he's not afraid of the danger because he knows the safest trail through the valley. If you've ever been on a guided hunt, and you're paying somebody to guide you, it's not that they need to shoot the animal for you because you probably can shoot it yourself. It's not that they need to see it for you because you probably can see it yourself. And there's a whole lot of things that you can do, but they know the terrain. They know where they live. They know how to get there, and that's what you're paying them for, their expertise and their safety in that. Because if you just go out in the middle of nowhere, not knowing where you are, not knowing anything like that, you could get lost. You could get hurt. But that person's been there time and time and time again, and they know. I went on one time when I was just out of Bible college. And of course, we were riding the guide's horses, and you know they rode they went up these trails and things like that. And so we're coming back down. We would hunt up top, and we'd come about halfway down to camp at night. So we'd come down those trails after it had, you know, sun been out, melted the snow a little bit, and ice a little bit, and it went down those trails. And at night, it would freeze back up. And so we're coming down those trails, and again, we could have gotten hurt, But the guide says this, look, the horses know the trails. Just know that. Secondly, know this, they are going to fall. All right, so that makes you nervous all of a sudden. All right, you're on this big old beast and coming down these little trails like this on the side of a mountain, but they're going to fall. So all you do is lean back, hold your feet out so it don't get caught up underneath there, and just let them do it. All right, so there was some safety in what he just said. Okay, and so except I was on a horse that had never been on the trail. It was a boarded horse that he was boarding for a friend, and then the friend said, "Hey, use it." So there was no safety on mine. But anyway, all everybody else was just sliding down. They stand up. But anyway, they know the trail. So that's what the shepherd, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of the death, the shepherd knows the trail. If there are some things that could harm you or hurt you, the shepherd knows about it and knows what they, you know, knows how to defend them. So second thing here we see, not only does the shepherd know the trail, these are just introductory statements. The shepherd knows the trail, and there's safety in that. The shepherd also has courage because of his rod. If the enemy does come on you, he's got something to defend it for. It's kind of like wearing a pistol on your hip. Okay, if you didn't have one and you were going through maybe a rough part of town or around a rough, you know, you might be a little bit nervous. But a lot of times you put that pistol right there and you're like, if anything does happen, I got a way to defend myself. You know, again, if that happens, same way with a person in the war or fighting a war. Hey, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. I've never been here before. I do know the enemy is trying to kill me, but at least I have this weapon, and I have this weapon, and they probably had a knife in their boot, all kinds of weapons. So there was a little bit of comfort in the fact that at least I can defend myself. So that's what he's saying here. If you're going to go through a valley of the shadow of death and the devil's out there as a roaring lion trying to get you, the shepherd's got something to knock him upside the head with. And there's some comfort in that. Third statement is this. The shepherd loves the sheep and is not reluctant to use the rod or the staff in any way. Okay, so we see here the shepherd knows the trails. He knows the wicked ways and the ways that the enemy would try to get us. But the third thing about the shepherd is he's like, come on. All right, you come over here. You might get me, but you're going to have some bruises. And you're going to have, and again, we know greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. We know God's stronger than Satan. So we know our shepherd, the devil's not going to be able to beat him up. He's not going to be able to get to us unless God allows that to happen. So three statements here. The shepherd knows the trail. Second, the shepherd has a club. And thirdly, the shepherd loves us and is not reluctant to use it. And so again, just like a parent, you know, if a kid was out in the, you know, out in the open and a dog charged, I don't know of any parent that would not get himself or herself in between that dog and their child. It's just reaction, not reluctant at all. All right, maybe there's a parent out there. See you, bud. Sorry, I'm out. I'm just scared of dogs, so my bad. That just don't make sense in my brain. But if somebody out there, and they're that enemy trying to hurt my kid, you know, they're going to go through me. That's what God's saying here. I know all the trails. I know all the tactics and the ways of the enemy, and I'm not scared to fight for you. And that's what David said. You know, he said, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, and there's a song written about this. David said, the battle's not mine. The battle's the Lord's. He will fight the battle for me. And so again, he knew that he didn't kill that bear with his bare hands. God helped him. He didn't kill that lion with his bare hands. God helped him. And so when he got to Goliath, it was like, same thing. I can't kill him, but God can. And so that's what God's wanting to say. Hey, there's some comfort in the fact that our shepherd has a staff, and he has a rod, and he's got us in his mind. So the shepherd knows the ways of the enemies. The shepherd also knows that his staff will guide the sheep into the right places, and it will rescue them if they fall. That's what that hook's for. All right, a just man most likely going to fall seven times, probably more than that. But if we'll allow God, He will take that staff and just stand us back up, you know, dust our knees off, and send us right back on the way. So there's comfort in that. If I fall, He's going to help me. So we see here this the rod, the definition of it was a thick, heavy stick. All right, something with a knot on the end of it for protection. And again, kind of like a pistol in your hip. Gives you a little bit of courage, a little bit of comfort. A rifle in your hand in the war. A little bit of comfort, a little bit of courage. A knife in your boot. And that's what and that shepherd's going down. Come on, sheep. We're going down this trail right here. And I know if any enemy hops out there, I've got my rod right here, and he's going to have a headache. So then that staff was a longer stick with that hook or crook on the end, and they were two different tools. So that staff was carried in the hand, and the rod was probably down there. So the rod was for the protecting of the sheep. The staff was for the guiding and the rescuing of the sheep. So we see there's been talk about this for years. Maybe that wandering sheep, or that little bit of a hard-headed sheep, that little I'm going to do my own thing sheep. The shepherd was always, come on. All right, you're going to get in trouble. And just always knew. And so we see here that if that sheep said, I can do it on my own. And if the enemy comes, I can just... And there's a lot of people out there, they're looking for their argument skills. All right, or their skills in arguing. I can talk my way out of anything. I'll tell them, bless God. I'd rather God fight it and not leave it up to my arguing skills. No, devil, you leave me alone. No. Then there's some people out there that they think they have enough money. They'll just buy everybody off. They try. And sad to say, there's things in our world today. Cops have been bought off. Lawyers have been bought off. Judges have been bought off. And then they think, I can just buy my way out of it. And so, no, but God needs to fight about it. How about this one? There's educated people that think they're just smarter than everybody else. I've got this degree and this degree and this degree and this degree, so I'm just going to trust in that. No, I'm just going to trust in the shepherd and not try to figure it all out. And that's what those sheep do. It says here, why should we restore to all... it says here, when we have not only... Why should we be scared to go down this path when we have not only the rod and also the staff. If we fall, he can pick us back up. But we also have the shepherd that will use it. All right, it's kind of like a 3-year-old carrying an M16. He don't know how to use it. It's too heavy. and so forth. But a big person that's been in the military, that's passed all those tests that they've been put through, when they're up there, there's some comfort in that. I'm just going to stay right here. They got it. That's what he's saying. Don't worry about trying to figure it out. Don't worry about trying to argue your way out of it. Don't worry about trying to buy your way out of it. Just let me do it. Hey, I got the rod and I got the staff. And there ought to be some comfort in that. Just follow me and I'll take it. So we see here, we need to trust the shepherd's directions for safety. It should be, how about this? It should be shepherd's defense instead of self-defense. Now, I'm not against self-defense classes. I've heard all of them scream this, or jab your keys in their eye this, or kick them in the groin this, or learn some kung fu and judo this, things like that. Not a problem. Okay, I know there's been Christians that have been murdered. There's been Christians that have been raped. There's been Christians that's been kidnapped. Okay, so it happens. So I get it. But what God's saying here is, all right, we ought to want the shepherd's defense instead of trusting in self-defense. So in our world today, it seems that there's so much more stress these days than back in the day. So much more pressure to fit in, to do this, to do that. You've never done that? You've never seen that? And pressure just seems like that. Obviously, there's way more temptation in our day and time than there used to be. Hey, back in our grandparents' day, if they had a TV, it was black and white, and they maybe had 3 channels. All right, now there's billions. I don't know if there's billions, but there's thousands of channels. Now there's radio, there's internet, there's all kinds of temptation out there. And so back in the day when this was written, you did have Satan, and you did have some wicked people or evil people, but you didn't have all that we have. And so we do have the stress and the pressure and the temptation, but we still have the same shepherd. And he's like, look, I got you. So he is hiding, or Satan is hiding around every corner, seems like. But we have the Savior, and our shepherd that is prepared with his rod and his staff. He's like, look, if you will let me get under my wings, all right, get close to me. Add some of these principles. Don't go out here. Don't go out at this time of the night, or don't do this and don't do that. There's ways to be protected. But if you are going through there, that valley of the shadow of death, or that pathway that would hurt you, let me do it. So it says here, he is with us when we're in the green pastures, we've seen. He's with us when we're by the side of the still water. We've studied that. He's with us in the valley. He's with us in the shadow of death. But he's also with us on that path to the next mountaintop. And he wants to do that. So first of all, we see here his rod and his staff. First of all, they protect us. There's protection in it. Even all the way down to, you know, the Bible talks about, and we're going to read it here in a little bit, that if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. Okay? So we have that. And so, obviously, we've used spanking or restriction or whatever we've done to train our children. And so there's comfort in that. And they say, look, if I do this, maybe even the fear of it, if I do this, I might get the rod when I get home. So that protects me. Even though I don't know the situation, even though I don't see it's a big deal. So that rod, it puts that pressure to protect. And then secondly, we see here, it comforts us. It may sound strange that a rod and a staff, you know, pull me back, bang me over the head. there's comfort in that. All right, yes. All right, and it's kind of like, you know, they say when you're sick, just go get you a bowl of chicken noodle soup, get you a blanket, you know, and sip it. And that's comfort food. All right, so you know, here, you hear that. And then they say, man, I'm exhausted. I am wore slap out. I mean, if I'm still for 2 seconds, I'm falling asleep. And they say, well, what you need to do is go to bed. Get you a long night's sleep and get your extra blanket and get all the way down in there and that comfortable pillow, things like that. That's comfort. Okay, so that, you know, soup, yeah, bed, yeah, rod, staff, don't match up. Here's one. Man, sometimes you just feel nasty. You've worked outside all day long, and I mean, you're sweating, and it's all dried, and you sweat it again, and it dried, so it's like thick layers, and you've got stuff all under your fingernails, your hair's all like matted, and you know, you just, woo! And you're like, what I need for comfort is a hot bath or a hot shower. So that makes sense to our brains. Okay, get you some soup, you'll feel better. Get you some rest, you'll feel better. Just, you know, sometimes when you've been sick and you're laying in the bed for a couple of days, I mean, you're just nasty. All right, your neighbors can smell you. All right, but you get in that shower and it's like, okay, that helps. You get a couple of days laying around, you know, ook off of you. So that does sound comforting. But thy rod and thy staff, I'll pound you on the head, or I'll hook you around the neck and pull you back. That doesn't sound comforting. But he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. So how can we be comforted in this dangerous valley? How can we be comforted climbing or crawling up this mountaintop? How can we be comforted from running from the enemy and going through the obstacle course of life? So we think physical rest, that's comfort. Emotional, all right, God will help us, that's comforting. But spiritually speaking, he wants us to realize, okay, that realization is comforting, that God's got me. He will never leave me nor forsake me. He knows, and if I call Him and ask Him to do something in His name, He says He'll do it. So we got to think spiritually speaking too. So when the devil comes, God doesn't say, hey, the devil's bothering you, get a bowl of soup. He don't say that. The devil's bothering you, just go get in the bed, cover up your head. He doesn't say that. He says, hey, the devil's bothering you, just go take a hot shower. He doesn't say that. He's like, just let him come on over here. You get right here behind me, get up under my wing where he can't see you, and you just let Satan come on over here. All right? And if you are in that situation, and maybe you can even hear him or see him, but you're behind God and God's got that rod, boo boo. All right, there's comfort in that. That's what he's saying. If you'll stay close to me and let me guide you, direct you, even, you know, correct you if I need to, if you'll let me do that, there's comfort in that. So what he's saying is, I got you. My rod and my staff, I got it right here if we need it. And so there's comfort in that. So it says here, when a child, when he's with his parent, he feels safe. You know? And again, I remember thinking that as a little kid. As long as mom was right there or dad was right there, maybe it depended on the situation. All right, if it was a verbal situation, I'd like my mom being there. If it was a strength situation, I like my dad being there. All right, and so forth. But a child, there's safety in that. That's what it's talking about. That mom, dad's got this. We don't think about light bills. You know, we might have the light police in our house. Turn the light off. All right, you know, but we don't think about it. We don't think about how much eggs cost as a little kid. I want one. Scrambled it. All right, with some bacon on the side of it, and that's just we're comfort. Because mom and dad's got that. So a child feels that same safety when they're under the wing of their parent and they're taking care of it. How about this one? As an American, there's safety knowing that our armed forces are ready. All right? I mean, things could happen to us in America. I mean, we saw 9/11. But there's also that comfort knowing that we've got the best defense system in our military anybody has. And so there's comfort in that. Comfort in a jet plane with bombs on it. Comfort in a tank. All right. Comfort in men and women that are trained to go kill the enemy. There's comfort in that. That's what he's talking about. Thy rod and thy staff, that's not a bowl of soup. It's not a bed. It's not a shower. But bless God, if the devil comes over here, God's going to take care of him. How about this? A sick person feels safe with a doctor. Right, we go in and tell them this hurts and this rash is here and I've got this and I got this. And they're like, okay, this is what you need to do. We go home, hey, I'm going to be fine. The doctor said. And it's called practice for a reason. They're practicing and they're trying. But a lot of times when somebody that knows what they're talking about and they've studied and they've seen it and this many things have happened and there's this many results in the testing and things like that, there's safety in it. Okay, it's not a bowl of soup. You know, just go take a bowl of soup and that'll heal you from cancer. No, it won't. Shower won't. But this medication, we've seen it's helped this, we've helped that. There's safety in it. And so a celebrity, I don't usually talk about celebrities unless I'm preaching against them. All right, but you've seen this on the news. They have safety when they have their security team. I mean, they're just walking and doing their little waving and their little posing and on the red carpet here and on that and this, that, and the other. And they're fine. Why? Because they got all those guys with the earwigs that's packing some heat. And if some Lulu comes up, they can take them down. So they're just walking through life safe, like, hey, that's what God's saying. All right? I don't think God wants us to be a celebrity, but He's like, look, I got the earwig, I got the rod, I got the staff, I got the knowledge, I know exactly what to do. So if you'll just let me be your security team, there'll be comfort in that. So cause and effect. Thy rod helps me, therefore I'm comforted and I'm safe. Thy staff directs me or corrects me or rescues me, so therefore I feel assured. So John 14, 16 and 17 talks about that comforter. And obviously Jesus was saying, I'm going back to heaven. And I'm going to send you a comforter, and He's going to be there with us, with you. And so the comforter guides us, the comforter corrects us, conviction, that whole conviction of the Holy Spirit. And there's comfort in that, knowing that I'm saved and He keeps me saved, knowing that He will bring to my remembrance words of the Bible, so He'll help me through situations. So that comforter, if you look up in the Greek, it's parakletos, or paraklete is what comfort means, and that basically means one that's walking right beside you. One that comes along beside. One that helps you. And so, just like the Holy Spirit brings comfort, that He keeps me saved, He guides me, things like that. That's what God's saying. My rod and my staff, there ought to be comfort in it. I got you. So, first of all, we see here the shepherd. We've heard this cliche before. He walks tall and carries a big stick. Alright? Our shepherd. The great shepherd, the Bible calls him. Nobody's taller than him. Nobody carries a bigger stick. Nobody's got a bigger arm than he does to take care of us. And so we see here the Holy Spirit on the negative influence is what we call conviction. And again, if you're right with the Lord, and your spirit's bearing witness with the Word of God, and you're trying to put into practice all that stuff, I mean, that small, still voice can just speak conviction. You ought not have thought that. You ought not have said that. You ought not have reacted like that. And you're like, oh, right, that's a negative. But that's also a positive. Because the Bible says that the ones that are His children, He will correct them. That's a comfort there. I'm God's child. If I could have thought that, said that, and done that without conviction, made me nervous. So there's comfort in that. So not only will His rod and staff protect me, it'll also comfort me. And the last one here, it'll guide me. It'll guide me. And so we see here, we're going to see three things underneath this one, and we'll be finished. A, it'll guide some because they're afraid. It'll guide some, that rod and that staff, it'll guide some because they're afraid. And there are people that are afraid. There's people that are afraid of speed. There's people afraid of heights. There's people afraid of death. I mean, there's all kinds. And so they're just... And so I'm sure there was some, not afraidy cat, but afraidy sheep. All right? I'm going to fall off this edge, or I'm going to drown in this water, or I'm going to eat too much grass, and my stomach's going to blow up, and I'm scared. God said, hey, I'll help you too. And so we see here that if we're afraid of the enemy, God's like, hey, I got the rod and the staff. Here's one where you talk about this. I'm afraid of getting in trouble. So there's comfort in that. Again, that's what my parents taught me. If you do this, there's going to be consequences. Now, and I've said this in here before, I am not for abuse in any way, whether it be verbal abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, anything. Right? I don't think a parent ought to train or raise up and nurture a child in the flesh, or by anger, or by embarrassing. You know, you don't correct your kid just because they embarrassed you. You don't correct your kid just because you got mad. No. You correct the kid because the Bible says, train them up, teach them. All right, so you use the philosophy here, and that's what he's saying. Look, I'm not just carrying this rod, so I'm just going around beating everybody on the head with it. Hey, but I am going to say, hey, look, you get out of line, I'm going to pull you back. If you get out of line again, and they talk about this in studies, this sheep just kept running off. Shepherd broke the sheep's leg, but he picked him up, put him on his shoulders, bound it up, took him back, took care of him. Why? To teach him for not running off. And so there ought to be some comfort in the fact that, God's got me. We see here after they're afraid of failing. I can't do it. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to blow it. And that he's just guiding them, prodding them a little bit. No, you can do it. You can do it. So we see here that's first of all, the Holy Spirit, we talk about stern voices. It's still small. The Bible says it's a still small voice, but sometimes it can be stern. And again, the shepherd might say, hey, come back over here. Hey, stern. He might say, hey, slow down. Stern. Hey, watch out. The devil's out there. Stern. Hey, don't get so close to the edge. So sometimes it might be a small still voice, but it still might be a stern thing. And the Holy Spirit can do that. Don't do that. Don't go around that. Get away from that. That small, still voice would say, I love you. All I want is the best for you. So some people are like, why did they say come back? Or why did they say not go close to the edge? And why this? Why that? If they ever get the concept, they said that because they love me. They didn't want me to fall off the edge. They didn't want me to get too far away from God. They didn't want me to do anything that would hurt me. So that makes sense to me. They might be stern sometimes, but because they love me and they want what's best for me. Here's another one, a sympathetic voice. So that Holy Spirit can be stern. It can be small still. And it also can be sympathetic. And it's all through the Bible. The Bible says, God says to us, I remember your frame. Okay, he's sympathetic. I get it. Your frame. Your frame was made by sin. I remember that. Okay, so I get it. And here's another one. I know that you are just dust. Okay? Sympathetic. I know you're not God. I know you're not me. I know you're not going to be able to do all that by yourself. So I'm being the Holy Spirit's being sympathetic here. Here's another one. I know the devil's powerful. I know that. I created him. I kicked him out of heaven. He can still show himself as the angel of light. I know he's powerful. So sometimes that Holy Spirit's sympathetic. And then he also would say, you know, I'd love to help you with that. And then the next one, we have a stern Holy Spirit sometimes, a small, still voice Holy Spirit sometimes. We have a sympathetic Holy Spirit. And we also have a straightforward Holy Spirit. Okay? I know all that, but this is what you need to do. This is the way, walk ye in it. That's what the shepherd's saying. Look, I get it. You might be scared. I get it. The devil's powerful. I get it. There's all kinds of things that could happen. But what I'm telling you is, this is the way, walk ye in it. And there ought to be comfort in that, because he's there to do that. John 10:10, if you're still there, I'll read verses 10 through 16 and I'll be done. Verse 10 says this, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd." Okay, so we see here, there's somebody who's going to try to rob you of salvation. He's the devil. Right? There's going to be people out there to try to rob you of God's blessing. They're being used of the devil. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. But he says, "I came to let you have life more abundantly. I got my rod, my staff. I'm going to direct you because I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So you just stay right here, and the devil will have to come through me to get to you. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeteth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep." And so the hireling, so in other words, anybody that's, you know, anti-Christ, saying, you know, "Hey, follow me, I got it figured out." Or, you know, even a pastor that's, it goes on to talk about how that maybe they're just in it for the money. They don't really care about the people of the church. So you watch out for those, because it says here, "They're hireling and they careth not for the sheep." And here it is again, verse 14, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I know of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know, even know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Verse 16, "And the other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." So we see here that Jesus called himself the good shepherd, and we see the thief wants to rob us of salvation, wants to rob us of joy, wants to rob us of our purity, wants to rob us of blessings of God. That's what a thief does. And Jesus is saying, "I'm the good shepherd. I'll guide you. Don't let any of those thieves rob you of that." Next, we see here the hireling doesn't care for the sheep, the Bible says, only cares for himself, only cares about money. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy that a preacher ought not have filthy lucre. It's all about money, all about money, all about... No, it's about the sheep. He says, look, don't let that steal, kill, and destroy. Then we see here that the shepherd says, hey, let the shepherd guide you away from... All right? Verse 5 of chapter 10 talks about that unprepared ministers. Strange. Let the shepherd guide you away from 10:10, the thief, the false religion. 10:12, let the good shepherd guide you away from the hireling, the uncommitted minister. 10:12 talks about the wolf. Let the good shepherd guide you away from Satan. So it guides us even from being scared. Those that are clueless. I didn't know all that. Guide the clueless, and then he will also guide the rebellious. Proverbs 13:24. He despaireth the rod, hateth the son, but he that loveth the son chasteneth him betimes. That betimes basically means promptly, or as many times. So the shepherd never promised to shield us from sorrow. He never promised to shield us from trouble. He never promised to shield us from temptation. But if there's sorrow, he's like, hey, I'm here to give you some comfort. If there's trouble, hey, I'm here to help you. All right? And then he even says if there's temptation, we know the Bible says with that temptation, he'll give us a way of escape. Hey, come this way. All right? That's what the good shepherd's there. And so there ought to be comfort in that, that the Lord's going to fight for us, guide us, protect us. And praise the Lord for that study. So let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, thank you, Lord, for being willing, just like a parent would put himself in between whatever obstacle was going to hurt his child or her child. And Lord, help us to be comforted by that. That you say, hey, I'm your father. You're my child. Nothing's going to get you unless you're running away from me. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to grab that and put it down deep in our heart, knowing that you're going to guide us, protect us, Lord, and bless us. And Lord, I just ask you to help us all to stay close to the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen.